Okay, here we go. Hi, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for smiling at me. Okay, so we are going to read through and finish, start and finish Perek Beis of Shaar Bitachon, okay? The fun thing now is since we're learning this with Rav Lifter goes through Perek Gimel, which is much, much longer than Perek Aleph or Perek Beis. And he has, I think, like 15 or 16 different like shirim on it. So it's much longer. We're probably going to try to do it in like two or three times, but then he doesn't yet go on to Perek Daled. So this is the problem with doing Shaar Bitachon, I guess, with someone, is that if they stop, then we stop. So I'm going to try to see maybe if I could find like a different parish or something like that. Otherwise, we'll get stuck and that'll be fine. And then we'll figure out what to do from there. Okay. As we always do. And it's been a long time. So, all right, fine. But let's do Perek Beis right now. Okay. Here we go. So again, reviewing, which I should have done before. Now we did the introduction, which I think I have to like amend a few things, and I'll do that next time because I need to like look over all my notes that I've been taking as I've been taking these notes before I like say anything about it. But fine, we have the introduction. We have Perek Aleph, which defines trust as basically right. Ma ach mahu sabitachon, right? And we talked about that menuchas nefesh, that settling in your life, settling in your experience and your circumstances, and trusting that someone has your back, basically, is like what bitachon is. So now he's going to talk about what is needed. There are seven things that he's going to say are needed. Don't worry, we're going to do them like relatively fast. What are the seven things that are needed in order to actually have bitachon in someone? So before we look inside, what do you think? Bracha, you could type in or speak if you're able to unmute yourself. Otherwise, Carrie and Eliana. If we had to try to come up with seven, so again, just come up with as many as you have on top of your head, but what are the characteristics that allow you to trust somebody else? Both like that koach within yourself, but also the characteristics of the other person. Think about, I guess, if you want, people that you trust and say, like, what is it about them that allows you to trust them? Eliana.
There has to be a good track record.
Meaning what, Bracha? Good. Carrie, looks like you had that in mind also.
Well, I mean, this kind of goes against what we've been saying, but they have to have shown you that they're like they'll give you what you trust, like we're trusting them for. But we're kind of saying that
Awesome.
like we don't necessarily know best, and we just need to trust that we have power to know what's best for us.
Awesome. Okay, Bracha, we are totally going there, right? That's going to be one of the seven, is the fact that you've seen it before, right? You've seen that this person is trustworthy. You've seen them come through for you. You've seen them be reliable, and that's part of what allows you to trust them, is that they've come through for you before. Perfect, perfect, Bracha. Yeah, Carrie looked like you were going to say that. Also, Eliana, you unmuted yourself. No. Okay, were you going to say what Bracha said?
Same thing. Yeah.
Wow, fascinating. Okay, good. So again, the fact that it has happened before is going to be central here. And again, it's going to come up not until number four, but we're going to spend a little bit of time there also because that's super important. Carrie, looks like you have something else to say.
No, I'm thinking, but I don't have it
Okay, good.
yet.
Good. What else? Think about it. What else do you think?
I guess if they're honest, but that has to do with track record. But like if they're they're honest people, you know?
Right. Fascinating. So there's something about their character almost that you have to be compelled by, right? Like you have to be compelled that, like, as a person, they are someone who's worthy of your trust, right? Their worthiness as a person, which is interesting.
I think you have to know that they care about you and like have your best interests at heart and want to do good for you.
Awesome, right? Awesome. It usually starts there also, right? That's going to be his number one, that you have to believe that they care about you and that they want what's best for you. It's hard to trust somebody, even if they're super reliable, they always come through, but you're like, you know, you feel like you're a pawn in their chess game for their own thing or even for your thing, right? It's very different than just feeling like somebody really genuinely wants what's best for you. And that relies on another thing that's going to come up. What does that rely on also? They want what's best for you, and also it's kind of related. And or you can go anywhere else, but just giving you a hint.
Okay, not gonna lie, I'm getting this from Brene Brown. So I might be wrong, but I feel like it might, you know, the anatomy of trust with
Yeah.
her. So the last one is generosity, like assuming that what they're doing is basically having like a positive assumption, like hope, like when we say like gamzu tovar, like whatever, it's kind of like that piece of it. Like I don't know what you're doing right now, but I'm assuming that what you're doing is because you care. Well, I don't know if I've gone through it before.
No, but that's fascinating. It's also, like, so I feel like it's very useful and, like, validating to see these kind of terminologies in other places and, like, apply it here, right? That's what you're saying. It's, like, it requires a certain assumption of, again, it's related to what Eliana was saying, like, the character behind what you're receiving, right? If you have a relationship with this person and you're receiving something, it's, like, the assumption that it's well-intentioned for you.
This is for sure not one of them, but maybe, like, your ability to trust people. Like, if you have issues trusting people, then you won't be able to trust this guy, no matter how amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, so, actually, yeah. Also. Go ahead. Tell me more, Bracha.
That, like, you have to have the capacity to trust. So it's kind of a state of mind that you have to be in.
Fascinating. So, let's go there for a second. What would cause, meaning let's see if we could reverse engineer it, right? Like, what would cause somebody to not be able to trust somebody that could cause them to trust someone? Batsheva, we're discussing, like, what characteristics do we need or does the other person need in order to develop trust? Where does that midah come from? What's the koach hanefesh in somebody? Again, and what are the requirements in us and in other people? So again, you're saying, so Bracha and Eliana are both like, maybe it's also just our own internal capacity to trust, right? But where does that come from? Or, like, how can we engineer that? Thinking about people who can't trust. Let's say.
When you're in survival mode, you can't trust.
So you have to be sort of, like, in a place where you're, like Carrie's saying, able to think about what's coming to you and, like, actually consider what's happening instead of just going for survival. Good. Awesome, Bracha.
Your track record of the relationships you've had.
Whoa. Love that. Again, like, another one of those, like, experiences, right? Like, your own, looking at your own life and being able to learn from it that other people are trustworthy or not trustworthy is a big deal. So our own experiences. We just got back to that point. Number four. Okay, so I'm gonna tell you the hint from that I gave Carrie before again, which is that assuming that they have what's best in mind for you also assumes that they know you well, right? Like, they have to know you to actually, for you to believe that whatever they're doing for you is good for you, you also have to believe that they know you and they get you and they understand you and they're in it with you and they're trying to help you, right? So again, it's like kind of almost like the foundation upon which also that's built, okay? And that's also going to come up here. Okay, shkoyach, good job. So these are going to sound pretty familiar. This is going to be the structure. Carrie, you look like you have something else to say.
I don't know, like, where it would go, but that you, I'm saying you kind of said it, but, like, what the relationship means, like, in terms of us with God, because it's not the same, like, how we build that relationship.
Right, so go ahead.
No, just, yeah, like, no, it's basically it. Just how we, like, what it means to be, to feel close with God, because it's not just him knowing you because God knows everything, but feeling like there is a relationship and how to get there.
Okay, awesome. So Carrie's giving this great, like, reality check to us, which she often does and we often need to do for ourselves, and also why this is, like, a whole thing that we have a shahr dedicated to, and that's why we're learning it, right? Which is, like, this is really hard to do, right? Like, we could have this schmooze about our relationship with our mothers or our relationship with our sisters, and it would sound very different than if we're having this schmooze about our relationship with our God, right? So, and it's a lot harder in the latter category, right? What does this actually mean to talk about these things vis-a-vis God? So that's what Shaar B'Tachlon is going to do. He's going to talk about it in general terms, like what the seven things are. And again, they're mostly going to sound familiar now that we had this conversation. And then he's going to, like, shorten it up in one paragraph and, like, bam, bam, bam. This is our relationship with God. But then again, how we do that, I think, is our avoda going forward. And again, I'm winging it just as much, if not more, than any of you, as you know. And I'll keep saying that because it's absolutely true. Okay. okay, so let's go. I'm going to actually do something weird here, which is that I'm going to use the pronoun instead of, like, him being the balaboteach and him being the person that, like, instead of him being the person who is relying on and him being the person who he's relying on, because that's confusing because there's two he's, I'm going to have one of them be a her. Okay. So as if the us, we're all going to be reading this as like the Nimshel Mushel. Okay. So the person who is being relied on is going to be God. So it's going to be a he, even though God is neither female nor male. If I did the he, if she was the she, it would be like, I'd probably be making a point, but I would confuse everybody. So God is going to be he, and we are going to be she. Okay. On the receiving end of this. Hi, Yasmin. She didn't connect. Hi, Yasmin. So nice to see you. Oh my gosh, I don't even get to see your face. Hi.
I know, it's been a long time, and I'm sorry I'm like 15 minutes late, but I'm actually free filing on a Thursday night, so I'm like,
yay! It's all good. We just had our like pre-conversation, our pre-game conversation, and now we're literally like just about to start actually going into Sharbet Tafon. So you are perfect. Okay. So we were talking about what creates trust. What do we need within ourselves to create trust, the capacity for trust in another person? What are those things? So we're about to go into the seven that Sharbet Tafon has. Let me share my screen. Here we go. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, here. Do you see it, guys? Oops. That's Sho'amach. Yeah, we see it over here? Okay, good. Here we go. I'm going to go fast, and I'm also going to skip any actually doesn't have so many over here yet, but I'm going to skip any quotations that he gives, okay? Achasibos asher b'han mitachin habitachon mehaboteach al haburim hein sheva. So the reasons or the capacity that any of us, she, again, we're going to be the she's, have for believing are seven, okay? Achas mehen harachamim v'hachamla v'ha'ava. This is what Carrie said, right? You believe that he, the person that you're trusting in our case, it's obviously going to be God written here, but really anyone, and think about it in your mind in terms of anybody, right? You have to believe that the person has your interest in mind, right? They love you or whatever. I guess that basis of their relationship that we kept talking about. When you know that you have this relationship, that somebody wants what's best for you, they love you, they pity you if you need pity, they have compassion, basic empathy, basically, right, towards you. You'll like, again, have this menuchas hanefesh. Your soul will be settled when you're with them because you know that they have your best interest in mind. Okay, two. We hit that. We got that. Yes. Checks out. Hashenis, two. Sheyia yodeya bo imha vaso she'enenu mis'al imimenu velotis mis'atzel mechefzo. Right? It's not like sometimes they have a relationship with you and sometimes they're just too busy for you. Right? Sometimes they have that relationship with you and sometimes they're really busy playing video games and they just don't have time. Right, but that they have this relationship with you in which they want what's best for you, and they're always paying attention to it, and it's never second fiddle, right? It's always their priority. Again, we're building this like ideal of somebody that we'd be able to trust, but again, that kind of checks out with what we said, right? Yeah. Okay. Right. He wants to do it, and he will do it. He has your best interest in mind, and he's not going to have like something else that's going to come up. He has to go to the baseball game. Really sorry, you can't take care of your best interests. Fine. So what he's going to keep doing for the first four is he's going to talk about what it is, and then he's going to go back and say, remember the first two? Okay, so this is what he just did. He just backpedaled, and he's building it. He's showing you that the first four are steps. You need to have all four of these steps in order. That you have this relationship, that you believe that he wants what's best for you, and you believe that he never forgets that he wants what's best for you. Okay, so again, if you have these two things, you're doing well for yourself in terms of building bitachon. Vashlishis, what's the third? It could be that he's not getting distracted by his video games or a ball game, but it could be that someone else will come in and prevent him from being able to take care of you. Right? But that's not going to happen with Hashem either. So he wants what's best for you. He's never going to forget that he wants what's best for you. And he's never going to be like stunted or stilted in his capacity to do what's best for you. Right? Whatever he wants, he could always do at all times. If the person is weak, you can't have full faith in them because maybe he won't be able to pull through even if he does always want what's best for you. Okay, I'm going to skip part of this. Okay, so if you have all three of them, oh boy, like we are definitely building towards even stronger bitachon. Four is what we kept saying before, okay? This is like, I think, even more interesting. Varavius, what's the fourth? Sheyihiyeh yodea ba'ofne to'elas habitachon alav. V'lo ya'ali mimenu mashehu tovlo benistar uvenira u'mashe yitav bo'inyenu. Hold on a second. It might be the fifth, and I'm confusing the fourth and the fifth. Hold on a second. Just kidding. Fourth is the fourth is again this thing that he knows you, right? That Carrie's what Carrie said was built on, which is that not only does he want what's best for me, but he knows me to want what's best for me, like for real. Sorry, one second. I just need to put my screen back so I can see what we're doing. Okay. Right, he knows me. He knows the things that are good for me and the things that are not good for me. He knows me and like what I show and what I don't show. If I don't feel like the person really knows me, I can know that he wants what's best for me, and I still can't trust him. Anyone ever had this experience of somebody who is very, very well-meaning and is trying to take care of you, but really doesn't know you? And gives you a wrong piece of advice, or gives you like a totally misplaced like emuna shmooze, and you're like, you just made me want to kick everything out the window, not made me more emuna dick. And it's only because you didn't understand who I was, right? So again, it kind of resonates with us, this piece also. Like, you can't again have that menuchas nefesh. You can't feel settled with that person if you don't believe that they know you. Rav Leuchter here like went on a little bit of a tangent to talk about like you can't get like eitzah from a book. Right? And you can't hear someone else talk about a piece of advice that they got from someone and then apply it to your own life. Like, you have to take your own eitzahs from people who actually know you, not from like generic eitzah takers. It just doesn't work that way. Okay? Okay, so he goes back and backpedals again. 1, 2, 3, and 4. We believe that he wants what's best for us. We believe that he always wants what's best for us, and he doesn't ever like forget that or blink, basically. Someone said, Rabbi Rosenstein told a story about somebody who knew he went through like a tragedy. Basically, the person's like wife was killed in a car accident with him in the car, but he survived and his wife was killed. And he said that he was like struggling and struggling and struggling to like make sense of it and make meaning of it. And he said, and this person was telling Rabbi Rosenstein about it, and he said that the only comfort he found was when the rabbi, his rabbi, told him, "What can I tell you? God blinked." That was his explanation of how it could be that, like, he had gotten into this horrible car accident and his wife had died. And the guy found it comforting. And Rabbi Rosenstein's like, that didn't make any sense to me. He's like, I would not find that peace comforting. Like, that's not really bitachon. So that's what basically we said is just, like, cut out step two. God blinked. No. God didn't blink. God doesn't blink. Right? That's where we're going here. So again, if you believe God blinked, the whole bitachon gets thrown out the window. 5. This is, again, what we had talked about a little bit before. Hachamishish. Sheyiyya misyachid bahanhagas haboteach alav. Mitchilas hayoso vigodlo vigdulo viankuso vena'arosov ubechuzroso viyishash vyashishuso. Vizignaso ad tachlis inyano, that you believe and that you see, again, we, the she here, right? She believes and sees that God has been with her and God has already taken care of her from the time that she was an infant until the time that she was a child, until the time that she was a adolescent, and until the time of adulthood and also old age in every single thing. I have to practice reading this from the computer and not from my book because I am like stumbling over these words. Okay, I love hamis ha masmidos v'hiyazah mechayev chazkas bitchonoba. Okay. So again, that you have seen, the fifth is that the interesting thing about this fifth piece is that for the first time we see this word yischayev. Something makes you chayev to believe. Before, we're talking about like the anatomy of belief, right? What it's built on. And now we're talking about what would require you to believe. And it's this capacity, like we said, to see it in our own experience again and again. We have to learn bitachon from our own lives. That's where it starts. We have to have the capacity to look back at our own lives and say, where has this already taken place? Where have I already seen 1, 2, 3, and 4? Where have I seen God taking care of me? Where have I seen God not blinking? Where have I seen God having the absolute capacity to not be limited by anything else? And where have I seen God knowing me and knowing what's best for me, maybe beyond sometimes what I knew for myself? And that's the way we build bitachon. So the first four, again, are like what it needs to be. And the fifth is we have to develop within ourselves the capacity to look back at our own lives and be inspired by 1, 2, 3, and 4, by seeing God there. And Rav Leuchter talks about it again. It's like very Rav Leuchter-y, but he talks about like, you shouldn't, basically, in an ideal world, we would never have to hear like an inspirational speech about someone else's life. What does their life have to do with your life? You don't need to be, and you shouldn't be, and it's almost weird. Like, it's almost not shayach to be inspired by someone else's life. That's not where you should be inspired. We should be inspired by our own lives and our own stories. And if we can't, it's only because we don't think we have stories. But we all have stories. We all do. We all have these things that we could look back on in our own lives and say, that was where I learned that God cared about me. That's where I learned that God understood me. That's where I learned that God didn't blink. Okay, and he talks about this this source that Rav Leuchter also quotes several times, and it's beautiful and awesome, so I brought it to you in Shmuel. It's basically when Goliath is threatening the whole Jewish nation, okay? So he's just threatening all the soldiers. David at the time is not a soldier. His brothers are soldiers. And he is insisting that he wants to fight Goliath man to man. They think he's crazy, but they bring him to the king because he's insisting it. And Shaul said to him, are you crazy? You can't fight this like giant of a man, this massive soldier. Kinarata, because you're just a kid. Vehu ish machama min urav. And he's a trained warrior from the time when he was a kid. And what does David reply back? It's this awesome reply. Do you know? Does anyone have you read this before? Have you learned this before? Vayomer David al Shaul, roa haya avdecha, I'm a shepherd, la aviv baton, with the sheep. Ubaha Ari, the Esadov. I don't like this translation. I've tried to get a different translation, but couldn't figure out how to like actually make it instead of just clicking on it, so I apologize. Ubaha Ari, the Esadov, the Nasa Se Meha Eder. And at some point, a lion came, and at a different point, a bear came, and they took away one of my sheep. Viyatsasi Acharav. And I didn't let them do it. I chased after them. Vihikisav, Vihitsalti Mipiv. And I hit the lion, basically, and I hit the bear, and I wrestled the sheep, my sheep, from their jaws, and I saved them. V'yakom alayv hachazakti bizkano, v'hikesi v'hamisiv. And I would take it, and I would, like, seize it, and I would hit it with my stick, and I would kill it. V'gam esari, gam hadov hika avdecha. I killed a lion like that, and I killed a bear like that, because they threatened my sheep, and I went after them, and I pried their jaws open, and I took the sheep out, and I smacked them, and they died. This gully-ass dude, he's just another one of them. He's just threatening my sheep. And I'm going to go after him, and I'm going to take him down. Just like I took down the lion and the bear. Because he's blasphemed the legions of the living God. Okay, it's beautiful. And basically that is what, can I say, Vayomer David, Hashem asher hitzilani miyad ha'ari u'miyad hadov. And the same God who saved me from that lion and saved me from that bear, hu yatzilani miyad ha'plishti hazeh. He's going to save me from this plishti. Vayomer Shaul David, lech, v'Hashem yihya imach. Go, Hashem will be with you. Is that awesome? It's like an amazing story, right? You have to read the letters of David HaMelech. I'm telling you guys, it's like amazing. Yasmin, you were learning it, right? You were learning like Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis. It's so good, right? So again, that's fascinating. David doesn't just say, like, why isn't he all from? He should just be like, Hashem Yazor. Shaul's like, how do you know what's going to happen? He's like, Hashem Yazor, Hashem will help. He doesn't just say that. He's not like, what do you mean? I have bitachon. Have you read Shaar Bitachon? You just have faith. God has it all planned out. I'm just going to go. I'm going to try my shalos. Hashem will save. He's not all firm like that, right? What does he do? He shows us how bitachon is built. He's like, I've experienced this before. I've seen this before. I'm not going with blind faith. I know this is going to be fine because it happened before. And I beat the lion and I beat the bear and I'm not afraid of Goliath. And that's how he knows. He's seen it in his own life. Okay, and that's the step we all have to get to. I'm going to keep going because I don't want to take you too much of your time. Vashishis, the six. Shayihya inyan haboteach kulam masur biyado. This is like a little hard for us. Okay, so again, 1, 2, 3, and 4 are like the foundations. 5 is what makes us chayav, right? If we see that in our lives, we have to have bitachon. We see it. Bitachon makes sense in our own lives. It's natural. It's a chiyuv for us all of a sudden. We have to have it. It makes sense. It comes out of our lives, okay? And then the 6th and the 7th are like levels that are going to feel a little bit lofty, because they are. I mean, the whole thing feels like a little bit lofty, but 6 and 7 are a little bit loftier, okay? Vashishis. Say it again? Yeah.
Sorry, quick question. Are we trying to look for instances in our lives where, like, we were resilient over things, we were able to overcome things whenever, like, the next time that we come through, like, a little, like, hill that we need to overcome? Or is it that, like, these times that, like, we feel like Hashem just kind of guided us without us even, like...
I think it's that. I think that we're trying to find the times, like, again, we're trying to find 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're trying to find the times where we felt like Hashem really was watching out for our good. We're trying to find the times where we're like, oh, I was davening for X, but I got Z, and Z was way better. And Hashem knew what I really needed. I just didn't know that. Right? We're looking for like those kinds of things. Looking for like when Hashem didn't blink. Looking for when Hashem was like, you know, everything was in our way and then we got through it. Anyways. I think like those kinds of things, right? Things that build the capacity for bitachon by seeing it in our own lives. And again, bitachon is just that from the previous parak. Just that menuchas ha-nefesh, being able to be settled in our own state, in our own skin, in our own lives. Because we know that Hashem has our back.
Okay.
Great question. Okay, so the shishi is sheye inin haboteach kulo masur biyado velo yuchal adam lahaziko ulaho ilo velo lehiti vela velo lidchos nezek meolav zulaso. Okay, so again, Hashem is basically in total control of my life. No one can do good for me. No one can do bad for me. No one can hurt me. Nothing basically matters other than Hashem in my life. Ke'eved ha'asur. Like a servant who's in prison. Asher hu beveis habor bereshus Adonav. As if he's like in a pit. In total mercy of his master. Okay, so a little intense. But, right, like that's what it is. Nothing. Nothing matters. Nothing here. The only person who I rely on is this master. V'shayi haboteach bereshus misha batach alav al ha'inin hazeh yiyah yoser ro'i lebitachon alav. Right, so again, someone who feels that, it's like even more he understands that he's bitachon is fitting for him. Vashvi sheyi yamisha batach alav betachlis hanedivos. This is the last one that he is essentially fascinating. Carrie, this is exactly what you're saying. I forgot these words. This is exactly what you're saying. Haya betachlis hanedivos, that the person that you're trusting is generous. Right, that's the word that you used. Is like essentially generous. And again, this is the trusting the character, which came up a few times, trusting the character of the person that you trust in. Va'chesed limisha roilo limisha ino roilo. He's not going to be only like tit for tat, exact justice, right? But that he's generous. He has a best interest in mind. He gives people who deserve and people who don't deserve. V'sheitia nedivoso mismedes v'chasdo nimshach lo yichareis v'lo yifazik. That again, the generosity also is not conditional and does not stop. Okay? So that was those 7. And again, fascinatingly, again, when we were just trying to figure it out in our own minds, we came up with almost all of them. Not quite in the same order, but we understand his order too. So again, what he's going to do right now is he's going to talk about how all of them apply to Hashem, basically very briefly, but he's going to, which is really fascinating, give us, well, let's read this paragraph and then I'll tell you what he's about to do. Okay, we're actually going to skip this paragraph, okay? So now he's going to talk about how these 7 apply to Hashem. And he's going to give us quotes after quotes after quotes. I'm not going to read all the quotes because it's going to get a little long and a little redundant, but the point is, and it's fascinating, this is our Masorah. What we just built of how we think in our own lives as humans, we would need to trust a person or to trust somebody. Even more so is what the Chovas HaLevavos talked about trusting God. And he's going to bring quote after quote after quote to show that the Torah educates us that this is how we should relate to Hashem, because it's how Hashem relates to us. Hashem does want our good. Hashem does not blink. Hashem has the capacity to do good for us no matter what. Right, Hashem knows us and understands us, again, right, and building it, step by step by step, all 7 of them. So I'm skipping the quotes, but the quotes are important. And again, he says you shouldn't need the quotes because we should figure it out from our own lives, and we should build it from our own lives. What's up?
One thing is, Jenna's coming tomorrow.
I'm not really available to talk about that. I'm not really available to talk about that, but I'm going to be in 5 minutes. Okay? I want to come to your room. Okay? Love you. I'll come to your room. Yeah, I'll come to your room. Yes. Yeah. We love you. Blah, 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 blah. No idea what I was saying. So let's just go inside. Okay, Vasher Nachgor Al Ila Hashiva Tanaim. Lo Nimtzaim Klal B'Bruim. And by the way, he's saying, you can't actually find anyone who has all seven of these other than God. V'Nimtzaim Klum B'Borei, Kulam B'Borei Yisala. You can't find all of these in one person, but you will find all of these in God. Shehu Merachem Al Briosef, Kemosha Kasuv, etc., etc. Again, it's important that we see that there are quotes here. He is Merachem Al Brios. He loves us. He wants what's good for us, as it says, Tehillim Yonah. V'she'enu Mis'alem, and he doesn't blink. Kemosha Kasuv, and Tehillim, Yinolim Leishan, we know that one, and Eov, and Divrei Hayamim, and Tzfanya, quote after quote after quote. What just happened over here? Okay. V'shehu Mis'yached, Ba'an Hagas Ha'adam, Mitchilas Inyono, V'tchilas Geduloso, Kemosha Namar. And again, he knows us. He knows us from the time that we were kids, which we don't even know each other. I remember I was one time in the Rosenstein's house, Mrs. Rosenstein, Rabbi Rosenstein, and there was like a picture of the Rosenstein's kid who at that one was like 8, and it was a picture of her when she was like 1. And I said to Mrs. Rosenstein, do you believe that that's actually the same, like this baby is that kid? She was like, absolutely not. She's like, it's really hard to look at old pictures and believe that it's actually the same person. You ever think about that? Like looking at pictures of yourself, baby pictures of yourself, and being like, that was me? Like actually me? That little thing was me? Like, I was once a 2-year-old? Me? I was never a 2-year-old. I was always a 32-year-old. Right? I am not available. I love you. I am not available to talk about that right now. And... Right? Sorry, guys. So that... To think that, like, again, no matter who I was for all 32 years of my life, Hashem was with me when I was a 2-year-old. And then when I was a 4-year-old, and when I was a 5-year-old, and it's so hard for me to relate to myself, but there was something that was constant there, which are all these ways that Hashem related to me. It's pretty, like, incredible. Okay, again, Devarim, Tehillim, Iyuv, again and again. B'sheto alaso v'hizako, v'hiziko, eino b'rashus adam, ki'im b'yad habori yisala, levado. And again, that what happens to me is not in the hands of anybody else, but is only in Hashem's hands, right? Hashem is basically the one who's taking care of me, as if, again, that servant in the... In the Beis Habor, whatever happens to me, everything is completely dependent on Hashem. Shenamar, Eicha, Yeshaya, Yeshaya again. Vishana divaso, kolelas, vachasto, sovi. And again, Hashem is always generous and always chesed, right? Is always coming at us from the same perspective, whether we deserve it or not. There's always that, like, assumption of generosity. Tehillim, Tehillim, Tehillim. Vasecha gozer, behikabetz eila hashiva in yanim. The Bori Yisala. When you actually think about all seven of these and how they exist with Hashem, or that again, at least our Masorah tells us that they exist with Hashem and it's our job to make it real for ourselves. But if we really think about that, by the way, he says, you should be able to look at your life. Hasichel gozer. Sorry, that's what I should have stressed. Hasichel gozer. Your mind, your experience of your life should compel you to believe these seven things. I'm bringing the pasuk to, like, jog your memory and make you understand that, again, it's part of our Masorah, but we don't necessarily need it because, again, remember what we're flexing? We're flexing the muscle of looking at our own lives and learning it from there. V'kasher yizbar azeh la'adam v'sischazek hakaraso be'amisas chesed habora yivtach bo v'yimsor elav yaniach hanhagaso elav v'lo yichshedeu bedino v'lo yizkatzef al bechiraso lo. When you actually understand all these about Hashem, and you make it strong in your mind, and you make it MS, right, in that, how Hashem relates to you, okay, so again, we're going to have, again, the same lashon of menuchas and nefesh. We're going to be settled in our own life, and we're not going to get all upset when either of two things happen. And again, it's his acknowledgement again, and that's the end of Parak Beis. It's acknowledgement again that our life doesn't always feel so happy snappy. Our life doesn't always feel. It's not that if you actually believe it, you should feel. You should feel like everything's always good, period. That's not what he says. He says you should feel sometimes, things are great, and it's Hashem. And sometimes you're feeling like, things in my life don't feel so good. And yet, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are still true. Even though I'm not going to pretend that my life feels like Kosi Shua Sasa. My life still feels like Tzara Biyagodim Tzah. But somehow, Uveshem Hashem Akra. And that's like the weird paradox that we're always left in with Bechira. Always. Which is, we're not pretending that just because we have Bechira, our life feels like hunky-dory all the time. And yet, somehow, if we have Bitachon, it is coming from Hashem. With 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. It is a paradox, isn't it? It's like a little hard. Okay, I'm turning off the recording. Questions, comments, concerns?